Coming up on The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast, we'll be talking to three gentlemen who are on the front benches of the Trans Mountain pipeline issue. Join us.
You're listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast.
Is the Prime Minister actually saying that taxpayers should be on the hook when he breaks the law?
Going to take for the Prime Minister to have any respect for any laws in this country that may curb his out-of-control behavior?
All these deficits leading to nothing but burying Canadians in taxes.
And now, here's your host, Tony Clement.
Welcome to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. I'm your host, Tony Clement, Member of Parliament for Parry St. Muskoka, and I've got with me three gentlemen who are on the front benches of the Trans Mountain pipeline issue. With me today, the Honourable Ed Fast, who's the MP for Abbotsford, and as well the Environment and Climate Change Shadow Minister and Critic. We've got Jamie Schmale, the MP for Halliburton. He's the Deputy Natural Resources Critic Shadow. And Tom Kamich from Calgary Shepherd Riding, who is the Deputy Finance Minister Critic. And of course, I'm your host again, Tony Clement. We're going to talk about Trans Mountain, which has a number of different aspects to it. Let me set the table here. Of course, we've seen a precipitous decline in Canadian energy investment during the Trudeau years. The biggest decline in 70 years, a loss of $80 billion and 110,000 energy jobs. We'll get into that a little bit as well, especially from Tom Kamich's perspective as a Calgary MP. But the breaking news today is based on a previous podcast we had. We talked about the summer jobs program. Maybe listeners will be aware of that and how the Liberals have applied a values test for the recipients of the money to hire summer students across the country. A number of Conservative MPs and leader Andrew Scheer have expressed concerns about that. Now we learn today that some of the money from the summer jobs program is actually going to advocacy organizations like Dogwood Initiative that are committed ideologically and from their perspective, a political perspective, to shutting down Canada's resource sectors.
Well, Mr. Speaker, if the Prime Minister claims to be trying to build public support for this pipeline, perhaps he can explain to the House why his government gave a grant to an environmental lobby group that specifically used those funds to hire an activist to protest against the Trans Mountain project.
So here's a case again of the Liberals applying their values test for the people they dislike and then ignoring being nonpartisan when it comes to their own fellow travelers. So a lot to talk about today. I'm going to dive right into it and welcome Ed Fast to the program. Ed, great to have you on the program.
Good to be on your show, Tony.
Tell us, set the table. You're the shadow minister when it comes to the environment and climate change. From your perspective as an Abbotsford MP, a BC member of parliament, as well as your critic responsibilities, tell us what is so important about the indication of the Trans Mountain expansion project and the Liberal basically mucking up the issue.
Well, Canada's natural resources play a very significant role in our national prosperity. There are millions of jobs that depend on our resource sector. And in order for Canada to benefit the most from its resources, we need to be able to get those resources to market. When it comes to oil and gas, which we have a lot of, we need pipelines to get that product to foreign markets, because right now we can't get them to foreign markets because we don't have the pipelines in place to Tidewater. And what that means is that we sell mostly to the North American marketplace, which means we leave billions of dollars a year on the table that Canadians don't benefit from because we can't get the maximum dollar for those resources.
So this is a question not only of the oil and gas sector. Would it be safe to say that this is a question for Canada's economic activity, the jobs that are created, and how governments pay for things like healthcare and education through taxes?
Yes, yes, and yes. Our national prosperity and also the taxation that is derived from it and that allows governments to provide the key services that Canadians expect all depend on us getting our resources to market, getting the maximum dollar for those resources. If you ask the average Canadian out there, they expect us to extract our resources and get them to market in the most sustainable, environmentally responsible way. And we as a Conservative Party strongly believe that every single project that gets built to get our resources to market needs to pass a high environmental standard. When we're talking about oil and gas, those standards are the highest in the world, bar none. So Canada is very good at what it does in extracting oil and gas, getting that product to market. The problem is there are some people in Canada for whom the only process to get these pipelines approved is a no. They will never accept any process that will allow our product to get shipped to market at the best price possible and with the highest environmental standards applied to them.
Ed, before we talk to Tom and Jamie a little bit, tell us from the perspective as a British Columbian, because there's obviously been a huge debate in British Columbia. Are British Columbians seeing the value of the project and seeing that we can properly balance environmental concerns with economic expansion and activity?
Absolutely. In fact, you now see that all of the polls that are being conducted show that a very significant majority of British Columbians now support the Trans Mountain pipeline being built. And that makes sense. I'm from the city of Abbotsford. That pipeline runs right through our community. Our city has signed a benefits agreement with Kinder Morgan, which is going to provide significant benefits to our community. There are many, there are dozens of First Nations along the route of this pipeline that are also benefiting because they themselves have signed benefits agreements with Kinder Morgan.
Let's thank you, Ed, and let's bring it over to Tom Kamich, the MP for Calgary Shepherd, who has critic and shadow responsibilities on finance. Tom, welcome to the program as well.
Thanks, Tony.
Again, love to get a little bit of the local perspective. Obviously, you're kind of at ground zero being a Calgary MP. What's the type of debate that's going on in Calgary and Alberta right now about this project?
So for everybody in Alberta, especially in Calgary, we have all the office towers where people are working, what we call the white-collar workers, who are the engineers, they're the technicians, they're the designers. All of them are pretty much out of work or they're not getting enough work, so they can't work a full week. And basically, since the recession, I'd say 2014 and us electing an NDP provincial government, things have been really bad. And for the first time since 2005, since I could possibly remember, you see people begging on the street. You see young men and women who used to be working in the energy sector, designing pipelines, designing facilities. You see them on street corners. You see them in suburban communities like mine. I represent the deep, deep southeast part of the city where a new hospital is. You find people there literally begging on corners because they can't make ends meet. Lots of people have lost their homes, lost their jobs, they've gotten a divorce, suicide rate has gone up. It's been a huge impact on communities. Like the social impact of not getting our product to market is a really big deal back home. And one other thing I'll mention is we saw Northern Gateway get canceled. We saw Energy East get canceled because of the Trudeau Liberals. Pacific Northwest LNG project was canceled. This is a really big deal. This is the last attempt. Apart from Keystone XL, which is still wrapped up in a lot of regulatory red tape down south in court cases, we depend on this. This is it. If May 31st doesn't come around, we get clear indication from the government of what it's going to do. They got us into this mess. What are they going to do? We're facing a situation where a lot of Alberta-based workers and Alberta-based companies that hire them are going to simply start letting people go this summer.
So I think that's an important couple of points that you've made, that Kinder Morgan has set a drop-dead date of May 31st, that either some of these issues get resolved to their satisfaction, that they have comfort that the project can go ahead, or they just don't want to throw good money after bad and continue the project. So this project is either going to proceed or not proceed by May 31st. And I think the second point that you raised that's really important is that this shows a pattern of behavior by the Trudeau government that likes to espouse that we can, that they are in favor of both environmental design and economic activity, that we can be an environmental country and be economically successful. We know their policies on the environment and quite frankly, their lack of success on that. But this, without this pipeline going through, they have shown nothing in terms of actually getting the job done to get a product to market, which they themselves claim they are in favor of.
So I think one of the things I like to talk about. Everybody keeps focusing on like Shell and the really big companies, but the biggest impact will be on the medium-sized oil and gas, the homegrown, you know, up by the bootstraps type of companies that were little maybe 10, 15 years ago. And they're quite big producers now. They only hire Albertans or they hire other Canadians who've moved to Alberta to make a living. We spent a generation trying to convince people it's worth coming to Alberta to work. Sorry, Ed, but BC is beautiful. But we want people to stop in Calgary, we want them to stop in Edmonton, in our smaller communities, to come and work here. It's worth your time. And a generation of people now can't find work. And it's this small, medium-sized oil and gas companies which are looking at you know, the end of the tunnel, and there's no light there. They can't just move to another jurisdiction to keep sustaining their operations. They're looking at basically cutting off a lot of people locally. The homegrown industry is going to die if they can't move their product to market.
Are people starting to lose faith with Justin Trudeau's promises on this file?
Well, absolutely. We're Calgary, we're Alberta. You know, we're pretty conservative generally, but some of the biggest rallies that have been held promoting pipelines, promoting energy, the responsible use of our energy, how ethical and sustainable it is. It's attracted thousands of people to Edmonton legislature and at the government building in Calgary. So it's a big deal. And there's a lot more people that I see now, people I haven't seen involved in politics in the past 15 years are coming out now. And they're saying this has an impact on me. And they're from all over the country. They've come to Calgary. They're Albertans now. And they're proud of the work that they do. And they just feel disrespected.
Tom Kamich, our Member of Parliament for Calgary Shepherd, thank you for your intervention on this. And you're listening to the Blueprint, Canada's Conservative podcast. I'm going to bring in Jamie Schmale now, the MP for Halliburton and the Deputy Critic for Natural Resources. Now, Jamie, you're not a British Columbian. You're not an Albertan. You're an Ontarian. Tell us a little bit about the impact of these pipeline decisions or non-decisions when it comes to the broader economy and even from an Ontario perspective.
Yeah, I think many Canadians that are just tuning into this believe it's just an Alberta problem, and it really isn't, as you mentioned, Tony. So when the Liberals decided to change the rules halfway through the process and Energy East Pipeline was cancelled, General Electric in Peterborough, a company that has been in that city since the 1800s, it actually was named the Electric City, shut its doors. They had a contract to build motors for the Energy East pipelines. That's 300 jobs out. 300 families without
Poof,
a paycheck.
Vaporized,
gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just wasn't the one Energy East contract being canceled. It also had to be that Ontario is an extremely uncompetitive province to do business in. Electricity is killing them. So that was just a straw that broke the camel's back. But if you look wider than that, you also see about investment within Canada. We in Ontario have a lot of mining. And through the Toronto Stock Exchange, we have a lot of dollars being in and out of that. But we also have the Ring of Fire, but it all comes together.
Ring of Fire is a mining project.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, yep. For your listeners. Massive resources in that area. But if this pipeline gets canceled, the last available opportunity that we have right now to get our oil to proper market, I think investment within every sector will take a hit. People will not want to park their money here, will not see opportunity, will not see a process, which I don't know if you talked about Bill C-69, a bill that reduces any certainty in an application process for a massive project like mining or oil and gas. They won't see any investment here. It will slow down the economy. And, you know, if this pipeline, again, doesn't get built, as Perrin Beatty, the head of the Chamber of Commerce of Canada, said, the United States will be the biggest recipient of Canadian foreign aid in the form of massively discounted oil.
That's a very good point. And certainly the point that you're making generally is that this is a national issue. This is something, obviously, that is big in Alberta politics, big in BC politics, but it's a national issue as well. So I think that's a very critical point to make. From your perspective as Deputy Natural Resources Critic, unpack once more briefly the course of conduct of the Trudeau government, that this is not just a one-off about whether Trans Mountain goes ahead or not. You're seeing a whole course of conduct by the Trudeau government that is not benefiting jobs, opportunity, resource sector, the taxes that accrue to the government so they can pay for social services. Tell us a little bit about that.
You're absolutely right. When I talk to people in the mining industry or oil and gas, the biggest thing they say is we are not competitive. And if we do bid on a process or start the process, we're not even sure if it will go forward. So why put good money after bad? So that is quite concerning when you're looking at the future of Canada. We used to be a safe place to do business, and now people are taking a second look, and that should be concerning to everybody. And let's not forget how we got here. The Prime Minister has dropped the ball on this file right from day one. When the Premier of BC was sworn in, the Prime Minister should have took a bunch of his key ministers down and met with the Premier and explained to him how this was going to go forward. And the problem is he's left it. He just kind of crossed his fingers and said, well, I hope it's going to get done. It will get done. I say it's going to get done. But he's done nothing to advance that ball. And it's just snowballed after that. And now every side has dug in. And now we are right where we are here. We are stuck. And with a lack of leadership at the federal level, it's going to be, I hope the project moves forward, but I think there are doubts that it will. And that's very sad for people right across the Canada.
I'm here with three of my colleagues, the Honourable Ed Fast, the MP for Abbotsford, Tom Kmeach, the MP for Calgary-Shepard, and Jamie Schmail, the MP for Haliburton. We're talking Trans Mountain Project, but I do have to come back to this summer jobs program. I really want to get your take on this. So we've on the podcast, we've had the discussion with our colleagues. Kelly Block, for instance, came and talked about her perspective on the summer jobs program. And we were told that no, that you have to adhere to certain values and other people may not apply, but we're here to just protect the charter. That was the Liberal point of view on the summer jobs program. Now, just breaking news is that the Dogwood Initiative, which is an advocacy organization dedicated to shutting down Canada's resource sector, got money from the summer jobs program. Ed, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I am shocked. The Canada Summer Jobs Program has become a bigger scandal than any of us expected. First, the Prime Minister imposed his values test on applicants, and many applicants were unable to get funding this year under that program. Now we find out that the same program has been authorized to give funding to an organization that actually organizes against the Kinder Morgan, the Trans Mountain Pipeline. Can you imagine that? It's a disgrace.
Incredible, yeah.
And unfortunately, the Prime Minister, when he's out in British Columbia, he pretends that he's the great champion of the environment. When he's in Alberta or in Saskatchewan, he pretends that he's the great champion of the energy sector. He wants to be all things to all people, but in fact, there's a hidden motive here. And he has publicly said that he wants to see our oil sands phased out. Can you imagine the Prime Minister of Canada, who's supposed to be promoting our energy sector, saying he wants to phase out our oil sands, and then he funds an organization that is lobbying against the Kinder Morgan pipeline? Crazy.
Well, and in fact, when he spoke to the French National Assembly, when he isn't speaking to Canadians, that exactly was Prime Minister Trudeau's message. We're phasing out. But when he's speaking to Canadians, he doesn't have that message. So Tom Kmeach, I know a lot of nice organizations and good organizations get summer job funding, but is this starting to become a slush fund for the Liberal Party of Canada?
Well, that's what it's starting to look like. When I see that the Dogwood Initiative, of all groups, a group well known for radical behavior in opposing any type of development. And it's not just oil and gas they oppose. They oppose the forestry industry as well. And I remember my time working in the public service in the forestry division in Alberta. We talk about the Dogwood Initiative. So this is not an unknown group. This is a group that Liberal MPs in British Columbia have claimed their support for themselves. And now they're giving them money? Like, whose side are you on? That's the perfect question to ask the Prime Minister. And it's part of the hidden agenda, to kind of pick up on what Ed was saying. It is the hidden agenda. It is talking good game, talking about phasing out the oil sands, and then, you know, trying to dial it back, and then going to France, of all places, to say it again, and then telling us, oh, we're on your side, we'll get the pipeline built, don't worry. And that's why Albertans feel disrespected. And it does look like a slush fund. It's not the first time this has happened, and that they've used government money for hyper-partisan purposes. And this is, I think their end game is they want the company. They want Kinder Morgan to pull out May 31st. And they're going to be using groups like the Dogwood Initiative to funnel our taxpayer dollars so they can get it done without having to get their hands dirty.
Well, Jamie, I'm going to give you a 10 seconds. Are you shocked about this as well? I mean, you've had groups in your riding that weren't able to apply.
Extremely hypocritical. You know, they take away groups that they don't agree with, but bring it to groups they do. And it is just absolutely a disgrace how they handled this file.
Well, this too shall play out for our listeners. Of course, Canada's official opposition and leader Andrew Scheer will, I'm sure, be raising this issue amongst many others, and we will keep on when it comes to the Trans Mountain Pipeline and its importance for the Canadian economy. I want to thank individually our guests, the Honorable Ed Fast, Jamie Schmale, Tom Kamich, for being part of the Blueprint Canada's Conservative Podcast. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Join us next week for another podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Blueprint, Canada's Conservative Podcast. To find more episodes, interviews, and in-depth discussions of politics in Canada, search for The Blueprint on iTunes or visit podcast.conservative.ca.